Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medina.
Psalms 133. And I'm going to read the three verses, church, but I'm going to base myself mostly on verse 3. And I want to finish off where I started. Does everyone have it? Psalm 133. I want to welcome everyone who's watching live. Thank you for connecting with us. And the Bible reads, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Last week I finished off, well, I was basing myself on verse 2. How God sends the blessing always from top to bottom. Now, I was basing myself on verse 2 when the Bible says it is like the precious oil upon the head running down, the Bible says running down on the beard. And I was sharing with you that this is a picture, because we are talking about the unity inside of the church. But also we were teaching about unity in every area of our lives. We talked about unity in a marriage, in a family, the workplace. But we were namely talking about the unity inside the church. And when the Bible says running down on the beard of Aaron, it gives us a picture of unity, that when there is unity, there is blessings. We talked about how the oil flows from top to bottom. We talked about how the anointing oil they would use to anoint the priests wasn't just any typical oil. It was a rare oil. It had a different mix to be able to make this oil specifically to anoint. According to Exodus chapter 30. In other words, you could not imitate that oil. And see, when there is unity, church, in the house of God, or anywhere where there is unity, it is for real. That's why, you know, when you hear about this, some will say, well, you know what, there's no unity, one accord. But when there is unity, there is one accord, it is for real. Why? Because it has to do with the blessing of God. It has to do with the presence of God. And it's precious, like the Bible says, it is precious when there is unity. Everything changes when there is unity. And it is rare. Listen to what I'm going to say. It is rare, but when there is unity, watch out. Because God is about to do awesome things, great things, big things that only God can do. And that's the reason why the psalmist David, he says, It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. When they would anoint the priest, the high priest, it was something that also brought holiness. Hear me what I'm going to say. There is holiness when they would anoint the priest, the high priest, when the oil was poured upon them. It was a moment, hear me what I'm going to say, it was a moment of consecration. In other words, it symbolized separation. The priest was separated. He was consecrated apart from evil, and at the same time was anointed to live a life of holiness. That's why in the church, you and I have been chosen by God, separated from evil, to live a holy life that pleases God. There is a separation, there is a consecration that has happened in our lives. And when that happens, that means that God is doing a work in your heart, in my heart, in your life, and in my life. And when there is obedience within the body of Christ, when we obey, when we want to please God, we fear God, God begins to what? He begins to bless even in greater measure within the church. Now, notice when I say that the beard of Aaron, when the oil would come upon the priests, it was a time, and we talked about it a little bit last week, it was a time of refreshment and greeting. So it wasn't, in this case, it wasn't just for the priest, it was for anyone. But when you go back to the Old Testament, like Aaron as the high priest, he was consecrated for what? For a priestly service. When you became a priest, you had a duty to do. And through that duty, a lot of great things came out. Number one, what was the duty of a high priest? I'm going somewhere with everything I'm saying. Number one, he would service unto God and his people. In other words, he would do what God would tell him to do, and he would serve his people. Number two, the high priest would atone for sins. He would atone for sins. Atonement means repair. There would be forgiveness, and God would restore. He would atone. He would repair. Number three, the high priest, he would what? He would also what? Offer. He would give offerings of peace, fellowship, and thanksgiving. And not only that, he had that compassion of ministry to the people and to God. Now, there's a reason why he was what? He was anointed from top to bottom. He was consecrated, separated for God. Now, why do I say all of this? Because under the new covenant, church, the Bible says under the new covenant, 1 Peter 2:9, verse 10, it says, but you are a chosen generation. You and I, church, are a chosen generation. God chose you. God chose me. And not only that, the Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You and I are royal. See, we're not just anything, church. God picked you. God chose you. Amen. He chose you. He separated us. And the Bible says you are a holy nation. And then he says his own special people. You and I are special people, church. You ought to be excited this morning that you are chosen and that you are a special people that God has called out of darkness into the light. And now that we are in the light, church, now that we are in the light, we gotta demonstrate it. Hear me out. He says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then he says, he's talking about us, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. See, you and I are people of God now, church. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So you and I, church, we're not just, oh, I'm a Christian, or I'm a child of God. Now we got work to do. Amen? We got work to do. God consecrated you. God chose you. God picked you. God separated you. You and I now have a duty to do. Remember at one time in the Gospels, when I was studying this, this scripture came to my life. When Jesus, he tell his disciples, this is what he told them. He says in John 20:23, he told them, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What is he saying? He is saying that now that God has chose you, you and I have an obligation. Whenever we share Jesus with someone, we tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we tell them, look, if you confess that you are a sinner, or you recognize that you are a sinner, and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins. That's why Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, it's not that you and I forgive, because we don't forgive sins. The one that forgives sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are only instruments, vessels that God wants to use. And the Bible says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments. And have you ever noticed that, church? That whenever God touches you, whenever you're on fire for Jesus, whenever you go to a service and the Lord is moving, and I mean, the anointing falls upon you. What's the first thing you do, church? You start believing God. You want to do what God has called you to do. Because there's fresh oil on your life. When there's no oil, there's no fresh oil, guess what? It's dry. You get dry. You get dry spiritually. You get dry easily. We forget what God has called us to do. We forget our calling. We forget that God chose us, that God separated us. It's so easy to forget when there is no oil. But see, every time that we come to the house of God and we come with a humble heart, knowing and recognizing, you know what? I need Jesus every day. There's a hunger in us that we want more of God. God will always respond, church. God will always respond. And the reason I say all this, church, because everything starts with you and I. If I'm not anointed, if I don't got the fresh oil, I cannot expect, church, from you. The unity, you as a leader of the home, the household, the head of your house, or you as a supervisor at work, you don't wait upon people. You as the leader, the man or the woman of God, the leader, or in your ministry, you don't wait upon people. You have to get that daily fresh oil upon your life. Church, you don't have to wait on people. You know, everything starts with you and me. That's why last week I talked about this. Don't wait upon people if they're going to love you or not. You show love. You don't wait upon people if they're going to say hi to you or not. You say hi. Amen? A leader always responds first. Leaders don't wait. Oh, is he going to call me or not? No. Leaders always move first. That's why you're a leader. Because a leader is what? You get that daily fresh anointing, that fresh oil from God. And that's why, church, it is very important. Because when we do that, God's always going to bless your life. Not only is he going to bless your life, he's going to bless the church. And in verse 3, this is where I want to get to. It says, he gives us another picture. It is like the dew of Hermon. When there's unity, church, when there is unity inside the church, David is saying it is like the dew of Hermon. What is Hermon, or who is Hermon? Hermon was a sacred mountain, number one. It was a sacred mountain. It is said that it is the highest mountain in ancient Israel. It says, boasting majestic snow-capped peaks rising just over 9,000 feet above the sea. Mount Hermon, some believe, may have been the site of Jesus Christ's transfiguration. But notice what David says. It is like the dew of Hermon. This was the highest mountain, and this high mountain had lots of dew, and you could see it from far away. Not only were you able to see it, but it was a very heavy and became an idiom for abundance. So what God is saying through David is that that Mount Hermon was like a picture, an idiom for abundance. Abundance. Because of all the dew that you would see, it was a sign of abundance. How many here like abundance? Amen? You like abundance. But not only that, Mount Zion, with the Lord's blessing that God would give when there was unity, would have similar abundant moisture. This is what it says. It is also like the rich dew that covers Mount Hermon, making it green and moist. So David is giving a picture that when there is unity, hear me, when there is unity in the church, it is like a rich dew that covers. It makes it green and moist, and there was abundance. Church, hear me. When there's no unity, there ain't going to be no green, no moist, and nor abundance. He says, it is like a dew of Hermon. And it says, descending, that dew would descend upon the mountains of Zion. I don't know about you, church, but I want my life to be moist. I want my life to be green. I want my life to be abundant of God's blessing. And see, church, not everybody wants that. Not everybody wants the unity. I want the unity. See, I don't want to, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this right now. But see, I don't want to come to the house of God where it's kind of weird, where it could be cold. No, I want to come to the house of God where the love of God is present, where there is unity, where you don't have to fake it, where you are for real. Amen? Where God's presence is present. You know what I'm talking about? There's times you could go to a place, I mean, you don't feel anything. It's cold, ugly feeling. Sometimes you leave the place worse than how you got here. Amen? No. I want to come to a place where God is doing something in my life. God is doing something in my heart. God is changing me. God is transforming me. God is doing something new in my life. That's what I want. And what's different about this Mount Hermon, hear me out. Everywhere else around it, all you would see was dry wilderness. Everywhere else. See, that's why the house of God should be a rich place. That's why they say, you hear all the time, you could have a big church, a small church, whatever church, but as long as the presence of God is present, that's what counts. Where the power of God is present, that's what's important. It's the presence of the Lord. Why? Because where the presence of the Lord is, church, great things happen in your life and in my life. God begins to touch your hearts. And if not, you're going to be dry, church. Oh, dry wilderness. But see, I don't want to be a dry wilderness. I want that dew. I want that green. I want that moist. I want that abundance. I want to be in that presence of the Lord. I want something fresh, something new in my walk with God. That, you know what, I'm not comfortable. I know there's more and greater for my life. I'm not going to give up praying and believing for my loved ones. I'm going to come to the house of God and praise God and believe God. I'm not just going to come just to another service. I want to leave this place transformed, changed, with hope, believing, expectation that God is doing something in my life. That's why in a church, when there's unity, there is life. Hear me, church, there's life. And not only is there life, but it becomes healthy. Healthy. Life, healthy, richness. You see the blessing of the Lord everywhere. And you know what's crazy about this? That it not only did it show that it was a strong mountain of God's blessing, but it also showed it symbolizes the provision. That's another thing about this. When it says like the dew of Hermon, it talks about provision. God's provision for the land of Israel. In other words, God would send dew through this mountain, and through that mountain, that vehicle, the dew would come down. Upon Mount Zion, upon Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Because that's where everybody would go to worship the Almighty God. Church, see, it's the same thing here. When you come to the house of God, this is where God sends his blessing. That's why I don't understand when people say, I don't believe going to church. I don't believe, or you got other spiritual people that say, you know what, we are the church. Really, we know that. But there is a place, a church, a building, a temple where people gather, and it is there where God blesses his people. So there's provision. And we're not talking about little, we're talking about abundance, where God will give abundance. Let me tell you how powerful this is when the Bible says it is like the dew of Hermon. One writer, he said this: on this mountain, the dew is very abundant. But then he says this: with this dew also, even, listen church, even, he's talking about the dew. God sent the dew. Remember church, God is the provider. He says, even with this dew, even in dry weather, their tents were as wet as if it had rained the whole night. God does that. God is the only one that can do that. I don't know if you caught that. When God sends his blessing, hear me, church. When God sends his blessing upon you, upon the church, even when there's times of dryness, your tents are as wet as if it had rained all night. That is the blessing of God, church. That is the blessing of God. Supernatural blessing that only God can do. Have you ever been in that place where you didn't understand? You scratched your head. You said, I don't understand. How is it that this happened? God provided. That's because that was the blessing of God, that only God was able to do it in your life. Nobody else except God. That was the blessing of God upon you. That's why the blessing always comes from top to bottom. Top to bottom. So church, this morning, the dew did a lot of things. When the Bible says it is like the dew of Hermon, it did three things real quick. Number one, renewal. Number two, refreshment. And number three, a fertilizing force. See, I don't know if you're getting it. Like this morning, when God sends his blessing, where there is unity, where there are humble hearts, where we recognize that he is the source, there's always going to be what? Renewal for your life. God can renew, do something new in you. Number two, God's going to refresh you. Maybe you felt dry, or maybe you're feeling dry this morning. God can take away the dryness. And number three, it's a fertilizing force. Have you ever seen at your home, maybe? I've seen it here at the church, where it looks yellow, the grass looks yellow. But suddenly they put fertilizer, they force it, and then you come back 2-3 days, that thing is green. That's the way God works, church. When God blessings lands, when the blessing of the Lord drops, God can do anything, church. Anything. God can do anything in your life. And that's the beauty, church, when we come to the house of God and say, you know what? Doesn't matter the way I came. You might have came discouraged, confused, tired, mad, upset. I don't know. But when the blessing of the Lord is present, when his power is present, it changes everything, church. Everything. Everything. In a second, God can change everything. God will lift you up. God will raise you up. And this was very important, church. I'm about to be finished right now. This was very important. Because when the Jews would see this mountain how tall it was and how overtowered it was, this mountain. And what it would do through the dew that would come down. It was a sign for them of what God was doing and what God was capable of doing. Just as it, from top to the bottom, they knew what God can do. Every time they would go to Jerusalem, they knew that God was about to do something in that place because God dwelt in that place. See, I don't know about you, church. I want to be in a place where God dwells, where the power of God is present, where His favor is present, where people would even repent of their sins and get right with God. Where people would say, you know what? I'm not living the life that pleases God. I've been disobedient in this area. I've been playing with sin. And see, when the blessing of God is present, when He is present, church, God changes everything. God changes everything. For you and I to get right, to do what is pleasing to the Lord. See, that's what we want to do, church. We want to live a blessed life. And that's where they would enjoy, the Bible says, for the Lord. I love this. It says, for the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It is here, church, where God sends His blessing. Not only does He send, the Bible said He commands a blessing. He commands a blessing. I don't know if you're understanding, church. He commands a blessing because there is unity within the church. There is a church that is hungry for God. It is a church that is not just about me. It's about others. Where we can get together and work together with the same vision, the same purpose. And it's not about me. It's for God's kingdom. That's why Jesus prayed. He did a powerful prayer. Jesus, he says, I am praying not only for these disciples, those who were with them, but also for all who will ever believe in me through this message. Look what he says. Jesus says, they will all be one. Just as you and I are one. Look what Jesus is saying. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So you see the prayer of Jesus. He gives an example about him and his Father, how they are one. And he says, and I pray that as you and I are one, they will become one also with us. See, church, it's not about just you and about me. It's about the unity, the body of Christ. Even Paul said this. He says in Romans 12, 18, he says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. See, it's going to depend on you. Live peaceably with all men. Going to depend on you, church. You know, and it's sad that people there's people there will never try. They will never come out of them. You know what? I'm going to do my part. That's why you need a touch from God. A touch from Jesus. A touch of the Holy Spirit. Church, because he's the only one that can change you and can change me. Nobody else. He says, descending upon this mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. That's why they say that the church is an organism. It is alive, church. Why? Because there's life. The Holy Spirit moves in our lives. It's not an organization, it's an organism. The church has to be alive, church. The church has to be on fire. The church has to, you know, do what the Bible says. And I finish with this. This is a live church right here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. That says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See, in the church, there's got to be doctrine. There's got to be teaching. And fellowship. It amazes me, church, that people from the church fellowship more with the world than within their brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, then fear came upon every soul. See, church, where the blessing of God is present, where his power is present, there's always going to be, hear me, fear. There's going to be a reverence for God. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. See, I still believe that God does signs and wonders, church. That's why we lay hands on people. We believe that Christ still heals the sick. He sets free any bondage of anything. Christ still sets them free. And it says in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then it says, now all who believed were together and had all things. Look what it says. All things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all. As anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord. There's that word, one accord. In the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food. Notice it says, with gladness. Not mad, not with anger. It says they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of the heart. Praising God and having favor. See, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. Notice that that's the last part of that scripture. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And you know why, church? Because it was a church that was alive. The blessing of the Lord was in that place. When you see a church that no lives are getting saved, people are not getting restored, there's no unity, there's no love, there's no fellowship, there's no prayer, there's no discipleship, it's a dead church. But it all starts with us, church. It starts with us. It starts with you. See, that's why, you know, it's when there's prayer, you come to prayer. We come to prayer. It's not about who's going to prayer. It's about who's there already. God is here already. When you go to discipleship, it's not about, you know, I'm going to go see if I could answer all the questions. No, it's about going with the mindset. Say, you know what? I'm going to discipleship to learn. Hallelujah. So this morning, church, please stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.